Harvard University psychiatrist Dr. John Mack is a researcher of a subject that many scientists avoid. He studies people who say they have been kidnapped and sometimes sexually assaulted by aliens from space. A Pulitzer Prize-winning author, Dr. Mack believes that his patients' experiences are real and are not the result of mental illness or some other identifiable cause. His account of their stories is called Abduction, and he joins me now, and I'm pleased to have him here. Welcome.
Good to be here.
You had to know that when you write about this subject, you are moving into a sphere of great controversy and great incredulity. No matter what your credentials are, and no matter how many Pulitzer Prizes you have, and no matter how many degrees you have, it is a subject of enormous fascination, but also among a lot of huge section of the community that's looked at that incredulity because of the people who say they have had these experiences. No one ever sees any evidence. Tell me how you got involved in this, and why is it of interest to you?
Well, in this culture, evidence has come to mean some physical object, right, that we can measure, touch, take photographs of, and be certain of its pedigree, where it came from. But I suspect in something which is as unacceptable as a reality as this phenomenon, no piece of physical evidence would satisfy anybody. We'd be arguing that whoever found it was hoaxing it or making it up. But evidence can also come from other ways. Evidence can, in my discipline, psychiatry, and I played my strong suit in doing this, is evidence that comes from clinical discrimination. And what I found was...
A discriminating look at clinical evidence.
Exactly. In other words, you look and you listen to what a person has to say about their experience, and you say, what could this be? And nothing in my 40 years of working with people prepared me for this phenomenon. In other words, what people were telling me with doubt, incredulity themselves. No one has, in spite of what critics say, anything to gain, as far as I can tell, from this. Nobody wants to be a member of this club. They want to be found wrong, the yes. people that have had these experiences. They want to be told this can't be.
They want to be told there's another explanation for what happened to you, and here it is, and therefore nothing's wrong with you, and you're not part of some...
And these are people of sound mind, healthy people, by and large. They've been traumatized, many of them, by these experiences, but they're reporting in great detail narratives that are highly similar, which they have not gotten from the media. Most of these details are not in the media. They come forth reluctantly. They know who to talk to and who not to talk to, which is not true of people who have delusions, you know, or have come up with something which is a reflection of a mental illness. And the only thing that I know that behaves like that is real experience, where something has actually happened to these people. Then the question is, what has happened?
Right.
And that's where I've taken it.
All right, but here are a couple of questions. One, did you approach it as a wanting to believe or as a huge skeptic?
I approach it as a huge skeptic. I mean, this is simply not possible. Charlie, when I started this and I heard about these accounts of people, first of all, I was unfamiliar with the phenomenon until about 5 years ago. I came at it totally fresh, had no investment in finding this to be true, not true, didn't even know about it. And when I heard about these accounts, that there was this man, Bud Hopkins, in New York, who took seriously stories of people that said they'd been taken by alien beings into space. This is ridiculous. This is utter nonsense. This can't be. To me, it could not be. This is not something that is possible. There can't be that kind of intelligence working in our universe. There must be something different to explain this thing. So to me, in spite of what critics say, I didn't come to establish the truth of this, and it was... I was warned not to say you take this seriously, and I was a long time. It was 2 years before I wrote or spoke publicly about this.
All right. Tell me what your experience had been before that, just to give the audience a sense of who you were. I mean, you've written a book called Cultural Disorder. Was that the title? What was the title of the Pulitzer Prize winning book?
Well,
I
wrote a biography of Lawrence of Arabia, one that had so much to do with the current Middle East situation.
Right. And the subject of David Lean's great movie.
Yeah, a Prince of Our Disorder. I've been interested in questions of human identity. I'm a psychoanalyst. I've done a number of clinical studies of human dreams, nightmares. I've been interested in adolescent suicide, what makes a teenager decide life is so hopeless they want to end it. I've worked a lot in areas of political psychology, what drives us to be so destructive collectively one to another. Nationalism, ethno-nationalism interests me. So I guess in a way this work, although I didn't, you know, you don't calculate this at the time, grew out of this interest in some way, who are we? You know, are we these isolated people tearing at each other, trying to carve up the earth for our own purposes, or do we have some larger, expanded human identity? Maybe some place in the depth of my soul there was something that resonated with this, but surely as a factual phenomenon, this was simply not possible when I started this.
And when did you turn? When did you begin to say, I believe these people?
Or I take them seriously. The word belief is full of treachery here.
I know, that's why I was using it.
Because it has a sense of, you know, we're become part of some belief system.
Well, I know, but I was using it more in terms of, take it as credible, it could be. What's your term of? No.
That's right, it's just what you said. I mean, that it is something that is credible, that involves some kind of reality that these people are encountering, that needs to be taken seriously. And that, I suspected that very soon, but I just didn't have confidence in it. I had to see 30 or 40 of these people, each telling in different, slight differences, highly detailed narratives, terrifying in many instances, which they themselves doubted, which when they would hear that another person had had the same experience, they would become very much disturbed because it meant they couldn't dismiss it as a dream. They couldn't dismiss it as their private mental illness or fantasy. And that, to a psychiatrist, at least to this psychiatrist, was very powerful evidence that something extraordinary was occurring here.
What kinds of things did they tell you, which is part of the book?
Well, the basic story is that a person is in their home or in a car, or in the case of one woman, on a snowmobile, or in the case of children in the schoolyard, and a powerful beam of light comes, or they may hear a humming. And they're frightened, they may be paralyzed, they are moved by some energy. If it's in a house, they'll say floated down the hall. They may see these small beings 3 feet, 3.5 feet tall, a kind of thing that you might think they would be hallucinating. The first response often to critics, well, they're hallucinating, but the fact that thousands of people are having the same images, doubting it, telling it with a great emotional power, that's not the way hallucinations work. It's not a mass hallucination in the sense that, you know, everybody's having this experience. It may be a lot of people having the experience, but they're not in communication with each other. It's not a contagion where people are reacting to one another. So this powerful energy comes, these blue light or whatever it is, they may see 1, 2, 3 beings around them with these huge black eyes, 3.5 feet tall, communicate with them telepathically, and then they are moved up through the sky into some sort of an enclosure. They may see a UFO, they may not see the UFO from the outside. And inside, there is a more senior figure whom they call the doctor or leader, and that figure is a little bit taller and seems to be in charge. Inside are all kinds of machinery, like computer consoles, instruments, unlike anything we really have exact, nothing quite like what we have on Earth. The walls are curved, there's a kind of atmosphere that's misty inside often. And then there's a whole set of procedures that occurs, which are very complex. And often what abductees will do when they get together is they will compare, well, what was the instrument that the little creature stuck into your abdomen or in your nose? And they'll draw them and they'll be, you know, they'll see that or I've had a little experiment I've done where I have them draw them independently. And they've had the same instrument. Again, that's very strong evidence. John Carpenter, who's a psychiatric social worker who works with this population in Missouri, has a dozen or so cases where he's kept the people apart, interviewed them, explored their experiences independently, and they have like 30, 40, 50 details of what happened in the ship. It's identical, and they haven't communicated with each other. So there's all kinds of evidence, but it is evidence of narratives. The kind of evidence that's introduced into a courtroom would satisfy a jury and a judge, but in this case, since this simply cannot be, we're like the approach is often, well, let's find something wrong with the people reporting this, the abductees, or with the investigator, or whatever, but because there's no place for this in our psyches, at least for great numbers of people.
Okay,
in the
but
culture.
let me come back to not get hung up on trip over words.
Okay.
You say these stories are credible. Mm-hmm. Do you, as an intelligent person who's investigated it, believe, I don't know of a better word, think it happened to them.
Yeah, again, language, we have that problem. Happened. Okay, let me just...
You think it happened?
Something happened which corresponds to what they're reporting. In other words, I don't think they're...
Did something happen in their mind, or did something happen
well, it's,
to their
again,
physical
it,
being?
Well, again, this has forced me to challenge every category I've had, like All in right. the mind, right. inside, and outside. For example, sometimes the people are witnessed to be missing. A child, for example, this is my own case experience, goes in to find her mother during the time the mother's having an abduction experience. The mother's not there. Child tells the mother in the morning, "Mom, I went into your room. You weren't there." Two young people, fathers are desperate in the morning. Young teenage girls, they're gone. They say, "Yes, we were right here sleeping in the den of one of the girls." I've interviewed both girls, and the father, they came back. They were there. There are lesions on their bodies. There are cuts. There are scoop marks. There are intricate lesions that don't follow anything that could be self-inflicted. One person had a quadriplegic that I'm working with, has this very complex set of ulcers that follow a pattern on his wrist. He can't have done it to himself. Critics say, well, these are self-inflicted. They're not self-inflicted. But the physical evidence by itself would not stand up. I mean, you couldn't, because again, it's right. not powerful enough. It's not rich enough. It's the company it keeps. It's the fact that it occurs in conjunction with these extraordinary accounts, which, in spite of all the criticism that I may be taking it too seriously right. or believing this really happened, there isn't a single case where anybody has found another explanation of what an individual has reported.
Why didn't you include the personal histories?
Well, I included a lot of personal history where I took detailed personal history in many cases. In some cases, as for example, Scott in the book, we interviewed everyone in the family, in the nuclear family, the brother, sister, parents. As far as we could, we went into every possible person to interview that seemed to bear on the immediate experience. But again, what I was trying to do in this book is to lay out a whole new area that needs investigation, needs much more study, but to set out what are the basic guidelines, what is the basic structure of this field, and see what other people can follow up in more detail. I plan to study or to look at individual cases in much more detail now.
You've seen how many patients?
Of this sort?
Yeah.
Over 90 now.
Over 90. Remarkable similarity in their stories.
Yes.
In their sense of the light mm-hmm. and being taken away.
Mm-hmm.
How do your colleagues feel about this?
Well, the colleagues vary. I mean, when they, like for example, in the case of Sheila, the psychiatrist who had been working with her, who was a skeptic himself, came in the room during two of my sessions. I'm reluctant to call them hypnosis because it's not, with this group, the experiences are so near the surface. If you just listen to them and allow them to relax, the experiences come forward with enormous power. But he, when he was with me, he knew this Sheila very well because he'd worked with her for about 7 years, and he said, something like this has happened to her. I have no other explanation. I know her well. She's not making this up. This is truthful. This is what is going yeah. on with her.
And, in and the then end,
been,
that seems
and
to be
he's
the
been
most,
working with me.
Yeah. In the end, that seems to be the most convincing thing for you and for others, is that there's no other explanation. You can't find any other way. You can't find any other way to characterize than to accept.
Yeah, I mean, I've looked for every possible explanation. Then I begin to ask myself, why is this so extraordinary in this culture? In other words, what is it? I mean, for example...
Well, but I can tell you why. I think the reason it's so extraordinary is a culture for us to be unwilling to buy it, to accept
yeah.
it, to believe in it,
yeah.
to find it credible.
Yeah.
I think it is because they make the point about the evidence. No one has seen the evidence. And frequently the other kinds of witnesses, I mean, of all these things happen for people to be able to confirm, other people to confirm.
But there are, I mean, if you, again, have independent examiners, that they find the
yeah.
same thing.
I mean, they just would. I mean, I think that it's like near-death experiences for people.
Yeah.
I think. I
yeah.
mean, it's some of the same kinds of mm-hmm. incredulity that, in fact,
mm-hmm.
I died and I saw heaven and I.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think there's something because you in the end, it's something you just have to almost take on faith. Human encounters with aliens, the book abduction.